The House will come to order and the clerk will call the roll. Barker, Barnhart, Berger, Beyer, Bonamici, Boone, Boquist, Bruin, Buckley, Burley, Butler, Cameron, Cannon, Clem, Cowan, Dallum, Dingfelder, Chris Edwards, David Edwards, Esquivel, Flores, Galizio, Garrard, Gelzer, Gilliam, Gilman, Gerard, Greenlick, Hannah, Holvey, Hunt, Jensen, Comp, Kotek, Krieger, Crummel, Lim, McPherson, Maurer, Minnis, Morgan, Nathanson, Nelson, Nolan, Olson, Reed, Richardson, Riley, Roblin, Rosenbaum, Schaffler, Scott, Shields, Greg Smith, Patty Smith, Thatcher, Tomei, Wisnet, Witt, Mr. Speaker, excused, Hunt, Minnis, Scott, Patty Smith, excused for business of the House, Galizio, Nolan. The flag salute will be led by Representative Chuck Burley. Representative Maurer, can you sub in? Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The opening ceremony will be a moment of silence. Courtesies. Representative Thatcher.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Over on the right, I want to introduce a constituent of mine who's helping me draft a bill. Her name is Beth Jackson. She's from my district, and we are working together on something called the Adam Birch Act. Her brother-in-law was killed by a drug dealer, shot him up, and it killed him. And so we're working on creating an Oregon law that could prosecute such acts similar to the federal law. I'd like to welcome her.
Welcome. Representative Cannon.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I would ask you to direct your attention to the side aisle where we are joined by members of the ALS Association of Oregon who have come from around the state to the Capitol today to help raise awareness about the disease. ALS, also known as Lou Gehrig's disease, affects approximately 500 Oregonians. So please join me in welcoming them to the Capitol.
Welcome. Representative Garrard.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In line with what was just announced, directly behind me is Ed Zahner, who is fighting the ravages of Lou Gehrig's disease, and his wife, Arliss. And, Mr. Speaker, I request unanimous consent that the rules be suspended and former Representative Cliff Zahner be granted the privileges of the House and floor.
Representative Garrard requests unanimous consent that the rules be suspended and former Representative Zahner be granted the privileges of the House and floor. Is there objection? Hearing none, so granted. Representative Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Please extend courtesies today to my guest today. His name is John Rogers. He's at the South Isle. Mr. Rogers is a constituent of mine, and he is a success, an incredible success, and I want you to appreciate it. He is a former meth addict. Come here today to testify about what it's done to his life and how we can help make more of Mr. Rogers. He's 2 years clean, and I am very proud to introduce him to you, my colleagues, today. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Boone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I'd like you to help me welcome a group of young people from my district in Tillamook County. They're up in the back here, and there's so many different groups represented. I don't want to leave anybody out. It's the students from Nestucca High School in Cloverdale. The group includes students of the senior government class, the current events class, and the Nestucca Valley Development Council, which is really an interesting group, and I will tell you about it if you come to my office. A student-run service learning community service program. And in charge of the group are the social studies teachers John Elder and Misty Wharton, and the advisor to the Development Council is Amy Strickland. Welcome to the Capitol.
Welcome. Representative Barnhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And scanning the gallery this morning, I noticed that there are several educators from Eugene and Lane County, including Kathy Wiper up in the corner, and I'd like to acknowledge them.
Further courtesies? Messages from the governor. Messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the President to inform you that the Senate has passed Senate Bill 82, 203, 204, and 221.
First reading, memorials and resolutions.
HJM 9, urging President and Congress of the United States not to increase numbers of troops in Iraq and withdraw troops from Iraq and redeploy troops no later than August 1, 2007. HJR 19, declaring Pinot Noir official state wine.
Measures read first time or passed the Speaker's desk for referral. Standing committee reports. The committee report files dated February 14th and 15th have been distributed. Propositions and motions. First reading of House bills.
House Bill 2700 relating to contraception. House Bill 2702 relating to written documents produced by agencies of state government. House Bill 2703 relating to school guidance counselors. House Bill 2704 relating to fuel-efficient driving techniques. House Bill 2705 relating to resident status for higher education. House Bill 2706 relating to workers' compensation survivor benefits for parent or deceased worker. House Bill 2708 relating to construction agreements. House Bill 2709 relating to limitation of action. House Bill 2710 relating to construction design professionals. House Bill 2711 relating to construction design professionals. House Bill 2712 relating to task force regarding land divisions declared in emergency. House Bill 2713 relating to utility easements. House Bill 2714 relating to land surveying. House Bill 2715 relating to employment verification pilot program and declared in emergency. House Bill 2716 relating to licensure of nurses. House Bill 2717 relating to provincial license to practice medicine. House Bill 2718 relating to local government income taxes. House Bill 2719 relating to the abolishment of inheritance taxes. House Bill 2720 relating to landowner preference tax. House Bill 2721 relating to medical purchase records. House Bill 2722 relating to crimes involving animals. House Bill 2723 relating to post-transfer division of land. House Bill 2724 relating to public employee retirement. House Bill 2725 relating to unemployment insurance benefits for certain educational institution employees. House Bill 2726 relating to state-funded research that benefits private enterprise. House Bill 2727 relating to school finance. House Bill 2728 relating to Oregon Center for Business and Economic Education appropriating money and declaring emergency. House Bill 2729 relating to Oregon Student Assistance Commission appropriating money and declaring emergency. House Bill 2730 relating to inclusion of land within urban growth boundary of cities with population greater than 100,000 and declaring an emergency. House Bill 2731 relating to beverage taxes and providing for revenue raising that requires approval of 3/5 majority. House Bill 2732 relating to public contracting. House Bill 2733 relating to individually and indefinable health information.
Bills read first time or passed the Speaker's desk for referral. Second reading of House bills.
House Bill 2022 relating to health care employees and declaring emergency. House Bill 2047 relating to criminal record checks of school personnel. House Bill 2097 relating to water rights. House Bill 2098 relating to irrigation season extensions. House Bill 2116 relating to public library services for children declaring emergency. House Bill 2122 relating to delegation of agency authority to issue orders. House Bill 2227 relating to polygraph examiners. House Bill 2234 relating to tax bills prescribing an effective date. House Bill 2238 relating to councils of governments and declaring emergency. House Bill 2248 relating to business entities deemed to be employing units up for unemployment compensation. compensation tax purposes, House Bill 2281 relating to public employee retirement, House Bill 2282 relating to public employee retirement, House Bill 2285 relating to public employee retirement, House Bill 2312 relating to rights of mentally ill persons committed to the Department of Human Services, House Bill 2313 relating to rights of persons committed to the Department of Human Services, House Bill 2315 relating to judgments and criminal actions, House Bill 2360 relating to conservatorships, House Bill 2367 relating to Council on Court Procedures, House Bill 2368 relating to appeals, House Bill 2405 relating to building codes information, declaring emergency, House Bill 2444 relating to Oregon Bartlett Peer Commission and declaring an emergency, House Bill 2445 relating to recreational land and declaring an emergency.
Bills read a second time or passed to third reading. Consent calendar. Clerk will read the bill in short summary.
House Bill 2164 relating to winery licenses and declaring an emergency allows holder of winery license to sell malt beverages under special events winery license.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2164. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass should vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Holvey, how do you vote?
Aye.
Holvey votes aye. Representative Greenlick, how do you vote?
Aye.
Greenlick votes aye. Representative Crummell, how do you vote?
Aye.
Representative Crummell is off the floor. Representative Flores, how do you vote?
Aye.
Flores votes aye. Representative McPherson, how do you vote?
Aye.
McPherson votes aye. House Bill 2164, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2231 relating to reassessment of damaged property for purposes of taxation extends deadline to file application for reassessment of real or personal property value due to destruction of or damage if applicable and filed within 60 days of destruction of or damage.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2231. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will open the voting system. Representative Olson, how do you vote? Olson votes aye. Okay. House Bill 2231, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill in summary.
House Bill 2249, relating to hearing on assessment of civil penalty by Director of Employment Department for violation concerning transfer or acquisition of trade or business. Adds appropriate citation to statute under which persons may apply for hearing on assessment of civil penalty by Director of Employment.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2249. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will open the voting system. Representative Tomei, how do you vote? Tomei votes aye. Representative Roblin, how do you vote?
Aye.
Roblin votes aye. Representative Bruin, how do you vote?
Aye.
Bruin votes aye. House Bill 2249, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read next bill in summary.
House Bill 2319, relating to property tax appeals, transfers duty to notify county treasurer of large property tax appeals from Oregon Tax Court to Department of Revenue.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2319. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will open the voting system. Representative Cannon, how do you vote? Cannon votes aye. Representative Clem, how do you vote? Clem votes aye. Representative Chris Edwards votes aye. Representative Jensen, how do you vote? Jensen votes aye. House Bill 2319, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Third reading of House bills. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2230, relating to property tax relief for hardships and prescribing an effective date.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2230. Representative Reed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 2230 comes to you from your Revenue Committee, where it enjoyed a unanimously supported due pass recommendation. Came to us from the Department of Revenue as an attempt to offer some relief to taxpayers who suffer damage or destruction to their property. Current law offers those taxpayers an opportunity to petition the department for a reassessment, and that application has a deadline of August 1st. House Bill 2230 extends that deadline to December 15th if the taxpayer can show that their failure to complete the application by August 1st is the result of a hardship. Hardship is well-defined elsewhere in the law. It does not obligate the Department of Revenue to approve that petition, but merely to assess whether it was whether the failure to complete the application by August 1st was the result of a hardship. If it was, they would consider the original petition for reassessment. Urge your aye vote. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Reed, do you wish to close? No? He does not. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Krummel, how do you vote? Representative Krummel is off the floor. House Bill 2230, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2265, relating to employees of education agencies and declaring an emergency.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2265. Representative Roblin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is a bill brought to you by your Education Committee in a 9-0 affirmative vote. It simply allows a school district employee who is hired by the Department of Education to take their unused sick leave with them when they go to the department. And conversely, if a person is working at the State Department, at the Department of Ed, They may take their sick leave to a school district when they leave. Currently, from department to department, they can transfer sick leave. And currently, from school district to school district, you can transfer your sick leave. But previous to this, you were not able to take sick leave from a school district to the department or from the department to the district. Most of the employees that are hired at the Department of Ed, many of them have come from school districts, and when a person that is interested in a job at the department and a person that the department is interested in usually has been working as a teacher for a number of years, and so it can oftentimes be the decision maker as to whether they are willing to come and work for a few years at the department or not. Good bill should pass.
Further discussion? Representative Gelser.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. A question of the carrier.
Question of carrier. Does carrier yield?
Yes.
He does.
Thank you. If an employee is moving from the State Department of Education to a local school district who may have different hours of or different policies around the accumulation of sick leave, would that local school district be required to accept all of those hours and potentially pay them out upon retirement?
In the bill, it's very specific that it's a may, so the district and the employee can negotiate that. So they can accept it. They don't have to accept it.
Thank you.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Roblin, do you wish to close?
No, thank you.
Okay, very good. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk will open the voting system. Representative Nelson, how do you vote? Nelson votes aye. Representative Bruin, how do you vote? Bruin votes aye. Representative Reed, how do you vote? Reed votes aye. House Bill 2265, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2290, relating to foodborne illness prevention.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2290. Representative Maurer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 2290 clarifies the types of facilities covered by Department of Human Services under the Foodborne Illness Prevention Program. ORS 624 and ORS 616 delineate the regulatory authority for food establishment. Department of Human Services is responsible for such facilities like a restaurant and catering, while the Department of Agriculture is responsible for facilities that produce, process and distribute food like grocery stores, meat market, egg handlers, home kitchens, beverage processors, and very large food processors. Throughout ORS 624, food service facility is the term used to describe the scope and authority of the Department of Human Services. The 2003 legislature created the Department of Human Services Foodborne Illness Prevention Program and directed DHS regulatory authority over food dispensing facilities. This different language created some confusion between the Department of Agriculture and the Department of Human Services. House Bill 2290 clarifies agency roles by replacing food dispensing facility with food service facility in ORS 624.495. Thank you.
Further discussion? Seeing none, do you wish to close?
No.
He does not. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk will open the voting system. House Bill 2290, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2309, relating to construction contractors.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2309. Representative Riley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I rise today to urge you to support House Bill 2309. For years, the meth epidemic has torn Oregon families and communities apart. And while we're starting to turn the tide against the production of meth in Oregon, there are still constant reminders of its destruction that continue to haunt all of us. Some of the biggest reminders are former drug houses, drug labs left behind when they are shut down. These sites not only pose environmental health hazards to our neighborhoods, they drastically reduce property values and litter our communities with eyesores that remind us of the epidemic's lasting effects. But in the case of House Bill 2309, we actually have a bill that will finally allow communities and neighborhoods to work together to achieve a brighter future for these sites. This bill will allow nonprofit organizations to safely and affordably participate in the rehabilitation of these former drug manufacturing sites, namely meth houses. Current Oregon law requires contractors to post bonds in order to perform such rehabilitation, but due to the financial constraints this creates for nonprofit organizations, many of them cannot shoulder the burden, and these sites continue to sit empty. This bill will allow the CCB, the Construction Contractors Board, to create alternative bonding options specifically for nonprofits involved in the rehabilitation of these drug sites. This will allow these nonprofits to turn these sites into clean, safe homes and help to restore property value and pride in neighborhoods across Oregon. Colleagues, this bill comes to you from the Consumer Protection Committee with a unanimous due pass recommendation, and I urge your yes vote. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion? Seeing none, do you wish to close? It is not. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Boquist, how do you vote? Boquist votes aye. Representative Kotek, how do you vote? Kotek votes aye. Representative Crummell, how do you vote? Representative Crummell? Crummell votes aye. House Bill 2309, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2316, relating to courts.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2316. Representative Barker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, House Bill 2316 comes to you from your Committee on Judiciary, where it passed unanimously. This bill authorizes small claims departments and circuit courts to hear cases where the amount of the claim is $7,500 or less. Currently, the limit is $5,000, but has not been updated for 10 years. This bill will lighten the burden on our courts by moving more cases to small claims where claimants have an opportunity to participate in a mediation process. In small claims court, lawyers are not there, and this gives the average citizen a chance to take a complaint if they feel they've been cheated or some financial thing, up to $7,500. And that's important because at figures that low, it's virtually by the time you go to circuit court with an attorney, you'd have to spend more money in the process than you would regain the claim. And this is a good bill, and it has only minimal fiscal impact.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Barker, you wish to close? He does not. Those are of the opinion the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk will open the voting system. Representative Gelser, how do you vote? Gelser votes aye. Representative Gilliam, how do you vote? Gilliam votes aye. House Bill 2316, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2449, relating to the Oregon Ice Age Museum at the Columbia Gorge Discovery Center in the Dalles.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2449A. Representative Dallum.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Great floods course down out of Missoula, Montana, and the Montana area, and into Washington, Idaho, and coursed into the gorge and out into the Willamette Valley. The wall of water was so high it's unimaginable for us to comprehend. Only the tallest of buildings in Portland would stick out of the flood. In committee, we heard from Ken Karsmiski. I refer to him as the Indiana Jones of Wasco County. We learned that the Columbia Gorge Discovery Center will offer Ice Age exhibits through a cooperative arrangement with NASA, the Stennis Space Center, the Discovery Channel, the History Channel, OPB, and others. Why now are we looking at an Ice Age floods designation for the Columbia Gorge Discovery Center? The Ice Age floods are being promoted through the states of Montana, Idaho, Washington, and Oregon in Congress. In fact, Ice Age flood National Geological Trail legislation has been submitted, and we want to position Oregon and the Discovery Center to be a major site on that trail. In 2001, the National Park Services completed a resource study and determined that indeed the Columbia Gorge Discovery Center should be a major site for information about the cataclysmic creation of our Columbia Gorge. The other day, several of my colleagues, Representative Scott, Representative Bruin, Representative Hunt, made me aware that the West Lynn Museum would like to be part of the interpretive trail. I have spoken with senators from that region, and we would be happy to assist them in amending this bill to include the West Lynn Center of the Ice Age Institute in West Lynn when the bill gets to the Senate side. I would appreciate your support and the passage of House Bill 2449. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion? Representative Dallum, do you wish to close?
No, thank you.
I'm sorry. Representative Bruin. Sorry, I didn't see you there.
Thank you very much, Madam Speaker. And I just want to take a very quick moment to say thank you so much to Representative Dallum. I had voiced my concerns that he alluded to in his remarks, and he addressed those 100%, and it was a great example of finding two potentially disparate groups and finding a common ground with the legislation. So once again, my hat's off to the good representative, and thank you for your work on this.
Further discussion? Now, Representative Dallum, do you wish to close?
No, thank you, Madam Speaker.
Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Kremel, how do you vote? Votes aye. All present have voted. Representative Butler, how do you vote? Votes aye. House Bill 2449A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2128, relating to Sexual Assault Victims Emergency Medical Response Fund and declaring an emergency.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2128. Representative Maurer.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. House Bill 2128 repeals the sunset date, currently January 2008, and makes permanent the Sexual Assault Victims Medical Response Fund. This fund is used to encourage appropriate and confidential medical care for the victims of sexual assault. This fund was created as a public-private partnership that would provide the needed services for victims and forensic evidence collection for law enforcement while not being dependent upon general fund dollars or county revenue. Since its inception, 1,315 victims of sexual assault have been aided, and over $81,000 has been donated to the fund from private citizens, hospitals, and insurance companies. So you may ask yourself how we can fund these 1,300 victims with $81,000. And the answer is that is only a small piece of the pie. The rest comes from fines and fees from offenders and punitive damages from civil cases. This money leverages federal dollars with a 60% match. I urge you to pass House Bill 2128 to continue this important service benefiting victims of sexual assault and aiding criminal justice professionals in the investigation and prosecution of sexual assault in Oregon. Thank you.
Further discussion? Representative Maurer, do you wish to close?
No, Madam Speaker.
He does not. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Lim, how do you vote? Votes aye. House Bill 2128, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2147, relating to denial of driving privileges of persons under 21 years of age.
Question now arises. House Bill 2147, Representative Cameron.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Colleagues, I bring a bill, 2147, to you that is in a series of bills from the Department of Justice Attorney General that had a task force on underage drinking during the interim. House Bill 2147, currently the law allows driver privilege suspension of minors in possession of alcohol and other intoxicants or illegals up to the age of 17. House Bill 2147 expands that, up to the age of 18, and expands that up to the age of 20. Underage drinking in the state of Oregon and in the United States is an epidemic, and we need to do the right thing, to do everything to give the laws that we need in this state. It would allow suspension of driving privileges for those people that have possession, that are minors in possession of these types of things. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Bonamici.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. To the bill?
To the bill.
Thank you. Colleagues, I voted for this bill in the committee, and I'm going to vote for it again here on the floor, but I wanted to explain a couple things about it. It wasn't without quite a bit of thought that I supported it in the committee. This bill expands an already existing program dealing with 13 through 17-year-olds, and it expands it to anybody who's underage and drinking. And I understand that there is the issue of somebody could have their license taken away for possessing alcohol, not necessarily just driving with the alcohol, but possessing alcohol, and I understand the consequences of that. However, it does still not take away prosecutorial discretion. It requires a conviction. And so in light of those factors, I supported it. I will continue to support it, but I also want to repeat here what I said in the committee that applies to this as well as the other underage drinking task force bills, and that I hope that the intent of these bills and the existence of these bills is communicated to those affected with education among those underage so that it will have the deterrent effect that we hope it will have. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Cannon.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. To the motion.
To the bill.
To the bill. Colleagues, as one of the younger members of this body, perhaps I'm particularly sensitive to issues that affect youth. I understand that the intent of this bill is to deter underage drinking, and I think that's a laudable goal. However, I urge you to take a close look at House Bill 2147 and to consider, if you will, the potential consequences of this measure for 18, 19, and 20-year-olds and their families. This bill would suspend the driving privileges of 18, 19, and 20-year-olds not for driving while intoxicated, but merely for the possession of alcohol. I'm concerned about the potential hardship that this bill would create for a young working adult who finds himself or herself at the house of a friend, perhaps one that is only a year or two older than him or her, where alcohol is served. Our law considers 18, 19, and 20-year-olds old enough to marry, old enough to vote, old enough to smoke, carry a firearm, play the lottery. These are young men and women who, I don't have to remind you, are old enough to fight and die for their country. Let's keep faith with our young people. So at the risk of offending my constituent, neighbor, and former holder of this House seat, Attorney General Hardy Myers, I will be voting no on House Bill 2147, and I urge you to do the same. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Kotek.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Question for the carrier.
Question for the carrier. Does the carrier yield?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Does.
In committee, did you hear testimony on evidence of why this change would actually reduce underage drinking, moving the age range? Do we have documented evidence that that will actually have that effect?
I'm not sure there was specific evidence it would drop underage drinking by a certain percentage. Is that what you're looking for? Is that the,
I mean, clarification? Well, what kind of effect it would actually have, and what research was presented to substantiate this change?
I don't have any of that research. There was an interim work group that did all those studies and came forward with this. I would clarify the one thing that was discussed, that was the previous colleague that mentioned was a concern, is there is hardship cases for individuals that have to have transportation to and from their jobs, just like other suspension privileges. So these minors that did have their suspension privileges taken away, or their driving privileges taken away, could apply for a hardship case if it is for work or school, those types of things.
Thank you, Representative.
Further discussion, Representative Barker.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Colleagues, I would say that this will not impose a hardship on young people if they just do one simple thing: obey the law. Thank you.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Cameron, do you wish to close?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Just briefly, right outside of my district to the south on Sunday, there was a tragic accident from somebody driving under the influence, killed two people, and just serious stuff happens every day because of alcohol and misuse of that alcohol. And I think this sends a strong message to our youth. We're already sending it to 13 to 17-year-olds, and we will send it to the 17 to 20-year-olds, that not necessarily does possession of alcohol or substance relate to driving, but neither does a lot of our crimes relate to jail. But there has to be consequences for our behavior, and I think this sends a strong message to help reduce underage drinking. Thank you.
Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Clem, how do you vote? Votes no. House Bill 2147, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2148, relating to minors in possession of alcoholic beverages.
The question now arises on third reading and final passage of House Bill 2148. Representative Wisnant.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Honorable colleagues, I bring you today House Bill 2148 from the House Committee on Judiciary with a vote of all nine members. 21848 creates a new subcategory of minor in possession while driving and makes this a Class A violation. The current statute does not distinguish between different categories of minor in possession charges. An underage person caught with a beer in his hand at a party is treated the same as an underage person who is pulled over while driving and caught with alcohol on his breath. Drinking and driving is such a serious problem that it is not appropriate to it is appropriate to create a more serious situation for minor in possession while driving. House Bill 2148 is a product of the Attorney General's Underage Drinking Task Force and is part of the attempt to provide swift and sure consequences to deter underage drinking. House Bill 2148 will amend ORS 471.430 to create a new subcategory that will apply to a minor who is in possession of alcohol while operating a motor vehicle on a public highway or other premise open to the public. House Bill 2148 will make this a Class A violation subject to a maximum fine of $720 while a minor in possession is $360. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Further discussion? Representative Wisnant, do you wish to close?
No, thank you, Madam Speaker.
He does not. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. All members present have voted. House Bill 2148, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2207, relating to wage threshold for employment to be subject to unemployment insurance laws.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2207. Representative Berger.
Thank you, colleagues. This comes from your House Business and Labor Committee. It has nothing to do with underage drinking. It increases the dollar payroll threshold necessary for an employer to become subject to unemployment insurance tax from $225 to $1,000. This puts us in alignment with federal rules on this. It has been 35 years since this has been amended, and $225 is more in a quarter than my daughter, who has two children, pays her babysitter to go out to movies. It is such a ridiculously low amount. Unemployment insurance is not designed for those small little businesses that are not making any money whatsoever, and more of them are caught in this $225 web. So this would raise it up to $1,000. It's a good bill. I urge its passage. Thank you.
Further discussion? Representative Berger, do you wish to close?
No, thank you, Madam Speaker.
She does not. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Berger, how do you vote? She votes aye. Representative Butler, how do you vote? Votes aye. Mr. Speaker, how do you vote? He votes aye. Okay. House Bill 2207, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2268, relating to commercial driver licenses.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2268. Representative Gilman.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Colleagues, for those of you that are new here, we don't always get it right the first time. I know that may be news to you, but this is a perfect example. In 05, we passed 2107, and it provided compliance with federal motor carrier laws. Part of that was that all school buses would be driven by people with a commercial driver's license. The truth of the matter is there's no need for a bus to be driven by a person with a commercial driver's license if there's no kids in it. So that's one of the things the bill does. It provides people with arm endorsements will have the same alcohol level as regular CDL drivers, 0.04. I think most of you notice that's half what you and I have to put up with out on the road. Also, a Class A farm endorsement allows a driver to have a double trailer. The federal government is going to blackmail us if we do not pass this. It'll cost us $12.5 million a year. This is the same thing they did in 05, and I suspect it'll happen again in 09. 2268 passed out of the Transportation Committee with a unanimous aye vote, and I urge you to vote aye. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Flores.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Question of the carrier.
Question of the carrier. Does the carrier yield?
I do.
He does.
And thank you, good representative. And I apologize for not talking to you about this earlier, but I noticed that this applies to operation of tankers. And other than military, as they move from their maneuvers on highways sometimes, was there discussion about the level of tanker driving activity on our roads?
One moment.
I know it.
I think we're alluding to vehicles that have a tank on it and carry liquid
tankers and not military tanks or tankers. Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Further discussion? Representative Gilman, do you wish to close?
No, thank you, Madam Speaker.
Question now arises upon those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk will open the voting system. Representative Berger, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Richardson, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Flores, votes aye. House Bill 2268, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2272, relating to requirements for registering motor vehicles.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2272. Representative Buckley.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Colleagues, House Bill 2272 comes from the Transportation Committee with a unanimous vote. If you'll recall, in 2005, our state joined with our neighboring states to the north and south to set emission standards at a higher level than many other states. There was concern by the Oregon Automobile Dealers Association that people would go to other states with lower standards to try to find lower-cost vehicles and bring them into the state of Oregon. This bill will set forth the rules through DMV to make sure that cannot happen. It defines the what a new vehicle is, definition of a new vehicle. It has to be one with less 7,500 miles or less on the odometer. When the vehicle is initially registered, registration will take place at the Department of Motor Vehicles, and DMV will check to make sure that the cars were purchased in states that match our emission standards. The good representative from the far, far east of Oregon did speculate that he could go on a road trip, buy a car in Boise, and drive it for 7,500 miles and bring it back to the state of Oregon. I suggested that the representative from Milwaukee and I go with him to see if that would work. He decided this wasn't a good idea and joined in voting with the rest of the committee to support this. So I urge your support of House Bill 2272 to allow DMV to make sure that we keep cars with the same standard, air standard, starting with the 2009 vehicles. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Boquist.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Question of the carrier.
Question of the carrier. Does the carrier yield?
Of course.
He does.
Madam Speaker, does this bill give ODOT the authority to establish inspection stations to enforce this new law?
This bill does not give ODOT the ability to set up stations to test for emissions. This has to do with the registering of vehicles at DMV.
Follow-up question, Madam Speaker.
Further question, does the carrier yield?
Of course.
He does.
Then does this give ODOT the authority to require individual vehicle owners to have emission stickers on their car?
Representative, I've advised it to be similar to the registration that we have currently, that you, whatever stickers you get when you register your vehicle will be the same stickers you get currently.
Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Further discussion, Representative Gilman.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'm a yes vote on this because I think it helps protect our Oregon automobile dealers. It does not mean that I support the emission standards that the governor supports.
Further discussion? Representative Buckley, do you wish to close?
No, thank you, Madam Speaker.
He does not. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Krummel, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Richardson, how do you vote? Votes no. Representative Nelson, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Olson, votes no. Representative Schaffler, how do you vote? Votes aye. House Bill 2272, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2321 relating to court-ordered license suspension.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2321. Representative Kump.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Colleagues, House Bill 2321 increases driver's license suspension to 10 years when it was suspended because the driver failed to appear for traffic-related court proceeding, failed to pay a fine, or to obey the court order. Because Oregon now requires persons to renew driver's license every 8 years, this creates a problem. Current law provides that a person convicted of a traffic offense fails to pay a fine, the person's license is suspended until the person pays the fine or for 5 years, whichever is earlier. A person could be convicted of a traffic offense, refuse to pay the fine, and have the person's license suspended for 5 years. Once this five-year period ended, the person could automatically renew the license, since they only have to do this now every 8 years without paying the fine. The proposed change will align our current system to the new renewal, license renewal requirements of 8 years. Colleagues, this is a good bill, and we would ask for your vote. Thank you.
Further discussion? Representative Kump, do you wish to close?
No, thank you.
Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Jensen, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Richardson, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Berger, how do you vote? Votes aye. House Bill 2321, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Final reading, memorials and resolutions. The clerk will read the memorial.
HJM2, urging Congress to increase federal funding for educating children with disabilities.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Joint Memorial 2. Representative Kump.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. House Joint Memorial 2 urges Congress to appropriate the maximum amount of funds allowable to fund the cost of special ed. We did just see recent testimony and articles in our newspapers about the cost of special ed students, and so this is very appropriate. The memorial instructs copies to be sent to the President of the United States and each member of the Oregon Congressional Delegation. In 1975, Congress passed the Individuals with Disability Education Act in order to ensure that every state provides a free and appropriate public education to children with disabilities. Congress is authorized to pay up to 40% of the cost for educating our children with special needs. 32 years after the passage of this landmark legislation, the federal government is only funding approximately 18% for these costs, less than half the amount the legislation is allowed to do. Recent trends show that funding was cut in 2005, 2006, and the projections for the 2007 school year can be expected to be funded at an equal to the preceding years. These amounts have declined. During this decrease in federal funding, there has been significant increase in the number of students we serve with disabilities. Oregon serves about 53,000 students with special ed needs during the 90-91 school year. During the 2005-2006 school year, Oregon served almost 73,000 students with disabilities. That is a jump of nearly 20,000, from 53,000 to 73,000. Serving more students with special needs puts tremendous pressure on our ability to pay for these programs and to support programs for all students. While the need for special education is growing, the federal government provides less funding and falls short of helping states keep up with the cost of educating our children. House Joint Memorial 2 is to send a message to Congress and our Oregon Congressional Delegation that we need their financial support to ensure our students with special needs and disabilities continue to receive the best education we can provide for them. I strongly urge you to support House Joint Memorial 2.
Further discussion, Representative Kremel.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. To the bill.
To the memorial.
Colleagues, I rise to add my support to this memorial. In 2001, we sent a similar memorial back to Congress, and we got a little bit of a bump in funding for IDEA, Individuals with Disabilities Education Act. It went from about 12% the year before. We did manage to get it up to about 18%.
Congress promised in 1975, when they originally passed this, that the representative from Woodburn noted, that they would fund up to 40% of the actual costs to administer and to provide the education that this bill added. It was a good idea. The problem is that the money didn't follow, and so we're at best getting at about 18%. I spoke with the congressman from the congresswoman, I should say, from the 5th Congressional District here in Oregon, and she has agreed to try to sponsor legislation again this year in Congress to ramp up over the course of the next 8 to 10 years the amount of money going out to school districts from the federal government relative to IDEA. She said that they do listen to these memorials and that it would be very worthwhile for her and the rest of our congressional delegation from Oregon to have this in hand. And so I do recommend a resounding aye vote for this. Thank you very much.
Further discussion? Representative Kump, do you wish to close? She does not. Those who are of the opinion that the memorial should be adopted will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. House Joint Memorial 2, having received the constitutional majority, is declared adopted. The clerk will read the resolution.
HJR 7, designated December 13 of every year as Honor Our National Guard Day.
The question now arises upon final reading and adoption of House Joint Resolution 7. Representative Barker.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Colleagues, House Joint Resolution comes to you from your Committee on Veterans Affairs, where it passed unanimously. It was brought to the committee by our former colleague and radio show host, Jeff Krupp. The resolution expresses our gratitude for the hard work, bravery, and sacrifice made by the men and women of the Oregon National Guard by making December 13th of every year as Honor Our Oregon National Guard Day. It's not just the brave young men and women we have serving in Iraq and Afghanistan today that we're talking about. We need to think back and remember when the Japanese made their preemptive strike on Pearl Harbor in 1941. America was woefully unprepared, and it was the National Guard, the Sunset Division, that went to the South Pacific and had high casualties there, helping to restore freedom to the world. I know we all appreciate the patriots that have served in the past, as well as those serving today. Please join me in voting aye on House Joint Resolution 7.
Further discussion? Representative Barker, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who are of the opinion that the resolution should be adopted will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. All members have voted. House Joint Resolution 7, having received the constitutional majority, is declared adopted. The clerk will read the resolution.
HJR 11, recognizing September 2007 as Alcohol and Drug Addiction Recovery Month.
The question now arises upon final reading and adoption of House Joint Resolution 11. Representative Lim.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. HJR 11 comes from the Committee of the House Committee on Human Services and Women's Wellness. In our country, substance abuse has been a big problem, and it is more than a big problem. It is epidemic. SJI 11 is part of this education process as we encourage recovery and prevention of substance abuse. It is known, statistics from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services show 22.5 million Americans aged 12 and over were classified as with substance abuse in 2004. 17 million the age of 18 live in the household with a parent or an adult who is a binge drinker, which means 5 drinks or more in one setting. 9 million who live in with their parents and adults who use illicit drug. In October, survey conducted by the Oregon Partnership, they found that 34% of 8th grade girls reported drinking in the past month, compared with 30% of 8th grade boys. Encouraging recovery and prevention is an investment. According to U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, treatment helps offset costs to society. Substance use disorder treatment cost is $1,582.83 on average per person, yet has a monetary benefit to society of nearly $11,487. With this passage, HJI 11, this will send a strong message. Our children to stay away from this alcohol and drug. And also that those who are in habit of this drug, this we can help them to recover and becoming a productive citizen. So I urge every one of these members support this important bill, HJR 11. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Representative Gilliam.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. It's my pleasure to rise in support of this resolution that leadership has been taken on by my friend, Representative Lim. I just wanted to add a couple of comments, and that is his facts and figures that he just read for us are indeed very serious and underline how this whole area of drug and alcohol addiction has taken over our society. What I like about this resolution, and the only words that I would add, are the positive words in this resolution. That is the emphasis on recovery. And I think when we hear Representative Cameron speak to issues that relate to this in business on the floor today, when you take a look at Representative Berger's special guest this morning and the emphasis on recovery, that it is particularly inspirational that we would have a day to emphasize the importance of recovery. So I urge you to join me and my friend Representative Lim in supporting this resolution. Thank you.
Further discussion? Representative Lim, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who are of the opinion that the resolution should be adopted will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. All members present have voted. House Joint Resolution 11, having received the constitutional majority, is declared adopted. The chair requests unanimous consent that the rules be suspended and consideration of House Joint Resolution 12 be made a special order of business immediately following the order of business of special committee reports on Thursday, February 22nd, 2007 calendar. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Bills, reports, and other business lying on the table. First reading of Senate bills.
Senate Bill 82 relating to orthopedic contact lines, and Senate Bill 203 relating to farm labor contractors, Senate Bill 204 relating to service process on farm worker camp operators, Senate Bill 221 relating to motor carrier safety.
Bills read first time are passed to the Speaker's desk for referral. Second reading of Senate bills. Third reading of Senate bills. Other business of the House. Other business of the Senate. Orders of the day have been completed. Announcements. Colleagues, I'll ask for your attention. We do have a few announcements we need you to listen to. Memo from Speaker Jeff Merkley. Effective immediately, I am making the following changes to the School Revenue Forecast Committee. Appoint Representative David Edwards. Discharge Representative Susan Morgan. And colleagues, we will be having the youth legislature using the chamber, so we will be distributing the appropriate lists, the official publications, directly to your offices. And so please clear your desks today so that the students will be able to do their work here. And that will be today and tomorrow. Further announcements, Representative Barnhart.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. There will be a Democratic caucus immediately following this meeting, and the Revenue Committee will meet promptly at 1:15.
Further announcements, Representative Richardson.
Madam Speaker, I request the rules be suspended and that Representative Plum be allowed to change his vote on Bill 2147.
Representative Richardson requests that the rules be suspended and that Representative Clem be allowed to change his vote on House Bill 2147. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Representative Clem, how do you vote? Representative Clem votes aye. Further announcements, Representative Hanna.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Colleagues, as you know, on each floor of the chamber in the last few days and weeks, you've seen your staff and others working diligently to raise money for the governor's food drive. I thought today would be an appropriate day to put forth a challenge to each member here that I'll put up the first $50 if every one of you will match it with $50 and make a direct contribution to the governor's food drive. And my first challenge would be from somebody across the aisle to please match that.
Representative Roblin.
I would love to take that challenge and challenge all the rest of the people in our caucus to come forth. And if you need help, if you're one of those poor people, old high school principal, lots of fundraising ideas and activities for us to get that money so we can make sure we get our $50 in there. We appreciate the challenge. We appreciate the work that's being done by all of the staff on each of our floors if you look at all the work they're doing. So thanks for the challenge.
Colleagues, take note. Further announcements, Representative Berger.
Thank you. Colleagues, the youth legislature has been milling around out in the hall. We are one of the few states in the nation that actually allows our youth legislature to come onto the floor and do their business in this venue. It's a very special thing. I hope when you see them in the hall, you're welcome them. They are the future. They will be back here voting for real in no time at all. These are smart kids, and I do, and those of us that are on the committee that helps with this effort really appreciate your indulgence and understanding that they are going to come in and they are going to be at your desks, and they're very enthusiastic. And if you run into them, just ask them what their bills are. They'll tell you.
Further announcements? Remonstrances. Are you under remonstrances? Representative Buckley.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Colleagues, this Monday, February 19, 2007, marks the 65th anniversary of the signing of Executive Order Number 9066 by President Franklin Delano Roosevelt, leading to the internment of more than 120,000 Japanese Americans. The United States House of Representatives passed House Resolution 122 on Tuesday, joining the Japanese American community in recognizing this Monday as the Day of Remembrance for Japanese American internment. I would like to ask that we, the leaders of this state, never forget the lessons learned from this period in our country's history. especially as new fears and prejudices continue to threaten civil liberties in America. Senator Daniel Inouye of Hawaii, the first Japanese American to serve in Congress, has said, "With the Day of Remembrance, we learn from the past and reaffirm our commitment to our nation's democratic ideals." And I have to agree. Thank you.
Further remonstrances, Representative Richardson.
Madam Speaker, colleagues, in the last year, our exports to the People's Republic of China went up 73%. Our exports to our neighbors in China have gone from sixth to second. And because of that, we need to be aware of the work that we're doing with developing further relationships with China are very, very productive. One of our manufacturers in Oregon brought out the point that there's a middle class that's developing in China, which has a population of 1.3 billion people, and they want American products, they want Oregon products, and so we have Oregon companies that are manufacturing products for Chinese middle class to purchase. So I just wanted you to be aware that as we commemorate our relationships with various countries, that we remember how important it is for us to develop further language skills in Chinese, that we support our universities that are developing greater relationships with China because they are becoming such a wonderful trading partner with the state of Oregon. Thank you.
Further remonstrances? Adjournment. Representative Jensen, 11. Representative Jensen, 10:45, Tuesday, February 20th, 2007.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move the House stand adjourned until 10:45, Tuesday, February 20th, 2007.
Representative Jensen moves the House adjourn until 10:45 a.m., Tuesday, February 20th, 2007. Without objection, the House is adjourned.